Hey everyone, welcome to the Fretboard Journal podcast. I'm Jason Verlinde, the publisher of the Fretboard Journal magazine. And as always, that is John Rauhouse playing in the background. Every week on this show, I try to reach out to a musician whose music I thoroughly love, or maybe a luthier who I think is doing something truly exceptional with their craft. And today I'm talking to musician Damian Gerardo. Damian is someone who I've followed for years. He gets classified often in the quote-unquote sad folk category. But the truth is, over the years, his records have had quite a bit of production. They've been incredibly well-crafted. He collaborated with Richard Swift famously over the last several years. And we talk a little bit about that during this podcast. Richard, of course, passed away. And Damian decided for his 2019 release to kind of go as stark as you possibly could. The album is called In the Shape of a Storm, and it is a truly exceptional record. My favorite Damian Gerardo record probably of all time. I love the immediacy of it. I love hearing the guitar up close, and it's an interesting guitar, as you will hear about on this very podcast. So I hope you enjoy our conversation. Again, the record is called In the Shape of a Storm. If you want some tracks to check out, Newspaper Gown thoroughly blew me away. As did Where You Want Me to Be, which I guess is one of the more upbeat tunes on the record. But I had a great time talking to Damian. We hadn't chatted before. He used to live right near the Fretboard Journal here in Seattle, and now he's moved down to Southern California, as you will hear about. In other Fretboard Journal news, Fretboard Journal 44 is about to be released onto the world. So if you want to support this podcast, if you love the idea of a guitar magazine that isn't filled with ads and is filled with insightful stories and interviews with builders and players and all sorts of guitar obsessives, I encourage you to subscribe. Go to fretboardjournal.com. You can do so if you use the coupon code podcast. I will even take $5 off your order as a fan of this show. Not much else to report. Check out our website if you haven't recently for some very cool videos we've shot with Sam Amidon and others. We're going to be posting a bunch more in the near future, including a great video we just shot with Steve Earle, who has a great Guy Clark tribute record out right now. That is all the news I have for you. If you're enjoying this podcast, be sure to check out our other podcasts that we produce, the Luthier and Luthier podcast, which comes out once a month for all of you aspiring and working guitar makers out there. And then the Truth About Vintage Amps podcast, which I host with Skip Simmons, which it turns out is listened to by a lot of people who don't even have an electric guitar, but is a blast to record. Skip is so insightful. It's basically car talk for guitarists. You send us your questions. I ask them. Skip goes off on them. All right, without further ado, here is my chat with Damian Gerardo again. The record is called In the Shape of a Storm, and I encourage you to check it out. Hey, how are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Where are you?
I'm in Seattle.
Oh, we could have... I'm in Seattle as well.
So.
I guess I should say where in Seattle, but that's all right.
Well, currently I'm in a hotel, but I'm about to... after we speak, I'm about over to Bellevue on the east side.
Okay. Cool.
Yep.
Well, let's just get started. Damian, I've loved your work forever. I've been a big fan, and this record, this new one, just blew me away. And I want to hear all about it. So for folks who don't know, can you kind of describe the recording process of this one?
Well, it was pretty simple. I just I went into a studio called Sonic Wire, where I've worked at before. It's where I recorded The Horizon Just Laughed At. And I walked in there basically about a year ago, actually, and with my nylon string guitar, and we set up two microphones, and I recorded the thing in about under 2 hours, about like an hour and 45 minutes.
It's an incredible, I mean, it reminds me of those like John Jacob Niles, those like really powerful folk recordings from the 50s and 60s. It's the way you recorded it is really immediate. What kind of a guitar, what kind of a nylon string guitar is it?
You know, the guitar that we use, it's the same guitar that we use on The Horizon Just Laughed. And it is basically a no-name nylon string guitar. It looks like a learner's guitar. like for a teenager or something like that. It's fairly small, and it's basically a no name. I mean, the story is when I was on tour for my record Visions of Us in the Land, we were in the UK, I believe we were in London, and we had some time after a BBC session, and my bass player at the time, Josh Gordon, who actually plays guitar, second guitar on this album, my last two records also, he went into this like pawn shop and saw this tiny guitar for 80 British pounds, and he bought it. And it just so we could have something in the tour van to pass around and play, you know, play on. And we came back from the tour, and he stayed with me for a little short time, and he left it for my kids, my two sons to play with. And, you know, it being around the house, and, you know, I just found myself always picking it up. I was pretty amazed by how good it sounded. And I remember when I told Josh, right before I came down to record The Horizon Just Laughed, I said to him, you know, I think I'm gonna record with this guitar. He was beside himself, you know, he's almost embarrassed and shocked in some way, you know, and, you know, in a good way. Because, you know, Josh always plays with very quality instruments. He's very much a quality guy. And me, I'm just someone, you know, look, if it sounds good, I don't care what it is, you know. And I just thought, you know, the songs are written on this guitar. Why not just play them on this guitar? And because I tried other guitars, honestly. I remember when we did Horizons, I remember I tried out the other guitars, and none of them really sounded well. And so, but right before I left to go record the record, I made the decision just to bring this little no-name nylon string guitar. And so when I moved down to California, I moved in with Josh for a very short period of time. The guitar came with me. And funny enough, actually, I remember I had five guitars, and I remember I got rid of three guitars, and I kept two of the guitars I had, and one of them I kept was this small no-name nylon that we got in the UK. And I remember by the time I needed a guitar basically to record In the Shape of a Storm. And it just seemed like, again, like the perfect guitar to use was this small, you know, generic guitar. So that's what I used for this album, you know. And it's, the guitar actually seems perfect because it seems like a very quick decision guitar, you know.
Yeah.
Sort of like the record was, you know, we just went in there, I knocked it out, and, you know, I did my part, Josh did his part, and we were done, you know, so, yeah.
That's awesome. You said two microphones. Was it just one vocal and one guitar, or did you have two on the guitar?
One on the guitar, one on the voice, one guitar, yeah. Right. And honestly, the vocal mic did most of the work, to be honest with you, yeah.
What was it?
I want to say it was a vintage RCA mic, I believe. Yeah,
got it. And are you going to be touring with this same no name guitar?
No, the guitar always stays home. Okay. Yeah, it's just I would hate to have anything happen to it. Oddly enough, good point here. As an example, I was in Portland a week ago, and I flew with another guitar, another nylon string, a much far more expensive guitar, and the airlines damaged it. Mm. So that's the reason why I don't fly with that guitar anymore. So, yeah.
Got it. And before you acquired this, you were mostly a steel string player, right?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. But now I'm not. Yeah. In fact, the other day I tried playing a steel string guitar and just felt strange to me. Yeah.
Talk to me about the concept behind this record. I know a lot of folks, myself included, have loved your solo acoustic tracks over the years, and the albums sometimes have been, you know, they're all been amazing, but, you know, the production has been huge on some of them. And so did you really want to pare it down for this one, or what were you thinking?
Yeah, I really did. It just sort of seemed the time was right for it. You know, the songs had been around for, you know, a very long time. Some of the songs that have been around long for a very long time. The opening track, Lincoln, was an outtake song I didn't use for Ghost of David. For some reason, it just didn't fit very well, and so I put it off. There were a lot of songs like that, you know, throughout, you know, my career that I just didn't use. And I just knew eventually I wanted to make an album where they sort of like were given a home, you know. I didn't know when that was going to be. It just was a floating idea in the back of my head. And then one day it just sort of came to the forefront, like, you know, I've done all these big productions, you know, I think I've proven myself pretty well now. Why not give the fans what they've been asking for all along, and that is an acoustic album. You know, I've done acoustic tracks on almost every album I've ever done. You know, those big production records that we're talking about, like, you know, from St. Bartlett, Maricopa, and onward. There's always one or two songs that are just acoustic guitar, maybe a little bit of flourish, but not much. And I thought, well, maybe it's time. You know, maybe it's time, because the fans have been asking me pretty much my career, like, when are you going to do an all acoustic album? So it just seemed like the right time, you know. So.
And I'm always curious about the relationship between an artist and their label. You know, you're on Mama Bird now. Did that conversation come up, or did they just want any record from you, whether it had the big production or the sparse, or what was that like?
Well, when I made the jump from Secretly Canadian to Mama Bird, it just seemed it's all natural, honestly. You know, I mean, Mama Bird's known for being a very acoustic centric record label.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it. But you know, and Secretly's put out their share of, you know, of mellow music as well, but. It just sort of like, you know, my contract was sort of up with Secretly, and at the time I had been wanting to just do more records. You know, I mean, you know, if I was on Secretly Canadian still, In the Shape of a Storm probably wouldn't come out for another 2 years. That's just how they do it. They release my records every 2 years. And I was not into that idea. For me, you know, I just thought, I want to release this record, you know, soon. And I wanted off the label at that point. And so I, you know, said my piece with them, and, you know, we respectfully went our separate ways. And I remember in the back of my mind, you know, what better record label to put this new album out than Mama Bird. And, you know, I'd already been a fan of theirs. You know, I was already a fan of, and friend, actually, Courtney Marie Andrews and Vikesh Kapoor. Mm-hmm. So I knew some of their artists already. And yeah, they just seemed like the perfect fit for me. They're very, very, they believe in the craft of songwriting and playing. For them, it's not just business. Sadly, for a lot of record labels, it is just business. And Yeah, they just seemed like the perfect fit for this album. I couldn't think of a better first release for this album, you know, than with them. So,
yeah, cool. So this was recorded right after you moved to LA, basically?
I recorded this right after my last US tour for The Horizon Just Laughed. I had just returned from the tour. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was on tour with Josh Gordon at the time, and Josh was my second guitar player, and on that tour we put as a duo. And I remember telling him, like, you know, hey, I think when we get back, I may just go to the studio. And he thought that was a good idea. I mean, it was a very weird time of my life, honestly. You know, I just moved to California after touring, you know, extensively, and, you know, sort of saying goodbye to Washington. And yeah, it was just a strange time. You know, Richard was really kind of on the way out. Mm-hmm. It just sort of felt like I needed it, you know. I needed to just be in a studio and just playing some songs, you know. Mm-hmm. At that time, I'll be honest with you, though, you know, Richard wasn't doing well, but I didn't ever think for one moment that he wasn't, you know, going to live. I never thought that for one minute. You know, that never crossed my mind, you know, because in all honesty, I remember even up until late June, July 1st, even thinking he's going to pull through, you know, he'll come through on the other side. And, you know, things happened otherwise, you know. So it's a bit of a strange record, because, you know, none of the songs are foretelling at all with him. I don't believe, not that I hear. I think it's foretelling in a different way. There's a real starkness about it, you know, which sort of, like, I guess in some ways symbolizes my life or the rest of my recording career, you know, without him. So
had he heard that you were doing this? Had he heard any of these songs?
He didn't hear any of the, he didn't get the chance to hear any of the songs, but he knew that I was going to the studio to do an all acoustic album. In fact, I remember one of the last conversations that we had, we were talking about recording this album, In the Shape of a Storm, and he was very happy to hear that I was recording an acoustic album. And in some ways, you know, looking back, I think it was sort of an unknown to me at the time tribute to Richard, because Richard was a longtime fan who had been trying to get me to record an acoustic album forever. Hmm. Brothers and Sisters of the Eternal Sun, although, God, it's such an overproduced record, that record was originally supposed to be an acoustic album. And it ended up being one of the most overly crazy produced records that we put out with him and I did. And then same thing with Visions, you know, he was trying to get me into this acoustic realm, and I wasn't having it, you know? And, you know, when I told him that I was recording an acoustic album, you know, he was really excited about that, because he'd always wanted to record an acoustic album, you know, along the lines of, like, you know, the production of, you know, like Skip Spence, you know, like the Or record or something like that. He was really into this album, or, you know, or someone like Sandy Bull, you know, like that kind of production. He really, really wanted to do an acoustic album like those in particular. Hmm. Something kind of really wild and, you know, psychedelic, but still acoustic, you know, sounding. So when I told him I did this one, you know, he was very excited. But no, he never got to, sadly, never got to hear the album itself. So, but I think he would have liked it.
Yeah, for sure. Was the, maybe you've covered this in other interviews and I just didn't see, but were you just done with Seattle? Was that the reason for the move to LA?
You know, my initial move to California from Seattle was kind of complicated. I just entered a new relationship. I was in love. I am still in love with this girl. My girlfriend, Robin, she was living in LA. It seemed, you know, and at the time I was just flying back and forth to see her. And I knew I wanted to, you know, be closer to her. At the same time, though, too, man, I mean, the other big looming thing with me was just Seattle. And it's not that I don't like, I love the Pacific Northwest. This is where I'm from, you know, but Seattle has just changed. It just changed, you know, and I'm not going to say, you know, I moved because it was, you know, it's getting expensive because God, LA is the worst. It's expensive in LA. So it's not that at all economically wise. No, it's become an ever changing city. And I guess I'm a little sensitive about it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not the same, you know, it's not the same. And, you can blame Amazon all you want, or, I don't know. You know, but the real problem, I think, you know, not to get political here, you know, is, you know, the city council is kind of a joke to me, you know. We're a city that just basically let whatever we want, you know, whatever happens, happens. And I'm not into that, man, you know. I just saw it sort of crumble before my eyes, you know. And you know, I'm up here now, you know I'm with my kids this weekend, and you know, neither of my kids actually live in Seattle anymore either. They all live on the outskirts of the city. So for me, you know, it's just something I really took to heart, you know. It was a real bummer for me. And it was a tough decision to make, honestly, because, you know, again, this is my home, this is where I'm from, you know. But I needed a change. You know, I just needed a change. I needed to get the hell out of here for a while. Richard was another part of that, you know. There's just a lot of demons up here, man. And I needed to get away for a while, you know. Whether I'll come back or not, that's sort of up in the air to say, you know. I don't know. You know, but I mean, honestly, you know, I'm up here a lot. You know, my kids are up here. You know, I'm seeing them all the time. You know, I'm still coming to Seattle quite a bit. I just don't live here, you know. So,
yeah,
that's the only thing for me.
Beyond this record, which is as sparse as it can get, are you finding are you becoming part of the Los Angeles music community? Are you finding a new group, and is that invigorating?
No, I'm actually no on all counts there. First of all, the music scene, I guess, if you will. I don't know. I mean, I haven't really, you know. I don't know if they're the thing about Seattle versus LA is that Seattle is tiny. It's a tiny, tiny major city with a tiny music scene. LA's music scene is massive, you know, and, you know, at least in Seattle, there was sort of a sense of community at the time.
Yeah.
I don't know if there is anymore, but there was at a time, you know. But in LA, that's not really the case. I think in LA, the thing, as far as scenes go, I think there's more of a comedy scene than there is like a music scene. Music is everywhere in LA, you know, and the surrounding areas, it's everywhere. I think for a scene, you'd probably have to go to somewhere like, I don't know, like Santa Barbara or Costa Mesa or somewhere like that, Orange County, or maybe even San Diego, somewhere smaller. LA is just too giant for there to be a scene. So, but no, I haven't really tapped into a scene. You know, there's a group of guys down there who run up like a productions company called Sid the Cat.
Okay.
And they're great. You know, they're awesome. I've done shows with those guys. There definitely is a few of like my people that are down there. And a lot of musicians who from the Northwest who are living there now. And I run into them every once in a while, but you know, I don't, for the most part, I'm not, you know, I'm 46 years old. I'm not like in the scene. You know what I mean?
No, I know. I just meant like, you know, I could picture you in the Largo community or somewhere like, you know, yeah. I don't know though. I mean, I'm just a visitor when I go down there, so I don't know what it's like.
It's funny. That's funny you mentioned that though, because Nick Thune, the comedian Nick Thune, just asked me to be a part of the show that he's putting together next month. So I'm doing that.
There you go.
But other than that, no. If he wouldn't have asked me, no. No one from Largo is inviting me to go play their venue. That doesn't happen. You know, people I do know, you know, for the most part, they live, you know, far from me. Jay Tillman, he lives, I think, in the canyon somewhere, and like my friend Karina, she lives in the on the a lot of people live on the east part of Hollywood. I live on the west side of Hollywood. I live on the uncool side of Hollywood, actually. Where everybody's fake and has like fake faces and everything. That's why it's pretty great. My neighbors, for the most, I mean, I live in Beverly Hills, but
right.
Yes, this is the part you don't realize. Like, I live in a part like of Beverly Hills that's sort of like the down and out part, where it's like my neighbors in Beverly Hills, they're all like Iranian Jews Yeah, I live in a pretty big Jewish community. So but if you go like four blocks like north of where I'm at, this is where like you get like the real you know, Housewives of Beverly Hills, you know, kind of vibe. But where I'm at, not all of Beverly Hills is what you think. you know, I live more like on the like on this area called like. It's like they call it Beverly Wood, actually, but it's not nothing fancy. Trust me about this area where I live at. So.
I don't know. You're in LA. This sounds screams of a screenplay, a fish out of water screenplay. So
yeah, man, I don't know.
So final question is just like having gotten this out of your system, this like beautiful solo acoustic guitar record. What's next? Do you think you'll go back to this? Do you think you'll want to ramp it up and play with others? What are you thinking?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because like right now, I just talked to Mama Bird about this last week, actually. You know, right now, I don't sit down and like, for the exception of Maricopa, that whole trilogy that I did, I don't really sit down and like write for an album. That doesn't really exist in my world. So I just sort of like write a bunch of songs and then pick 10 or 12 songs. And then that becomes a record, you know, for the most part. And like right now I'm sitting on 20 plus songs, you know, and you know, whether I'll record all those or some of them, it's hard to say, you know, it's just a nonstop songwriting thing, you know, for me. So as to where the sound will go, it's really, that's not really planned either. You know, I just sort of like, you know, I mean, look, I could get to the studio and say like, well, you know, In the Shape of a Storm, man, that was a really successful record, and people really ate that up, man. I should really record that again, you know. But the reality is, look, here's the reality. The reality is I could record this record, you know, probably two more times and get away with it, you know, and people would be happy. Yeah. But the reality is that I would not be happy, you know. I have to just figure out, for me, it's a journey, and there's no reason to just stay in one place for a long time. You know, there's no reason to keep going back to the Grand Canyon, if you will, if you've already been there. You know, if you've already been amazed by it once, why the hell keep going back, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, there's no need to keep going back to the Grand Canyon. You know, whether there will continue to be acoustic songs in the album, there's no doubt about it. I don't think the songs would allow me otherwise, but for me, there's no plans as of yet. You know, I'm scheduled to go record an album very soon, the next few months here. I don't know when it's going to be out, but what it will sound like, you know. I don't even know what songs I'm going to choose yet, you know. So it just sort of I kind of live on the fly, you know. I just sort of like let the songs dictate and lead me where they want to go. So we'll see what happens. Either way, I think it will be good. I hope.
Damien, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
Okay, man. Good talking.
Enjoy the rest of your time here.
Thank you. I will.
All right. Bye.